It's all right to feel all right. That's a good win yesterday on the road without Lane, without Devontae at the end, without A.J. Brown. It's a character win for the Eagles in spite of the coach and the turnovers by the quarterback. 215-592-9494.
Feel like a little spin, Joe.
It's a good win. We spin.
If you told me
before the game, in which they were underdogs, and very few people except for Hugh Douglas thought they'd win the game, that they'd be without Lane at the end, without Becton at the end, without Devontae at the end, obviously no Lane Johnson, they'd hold the Saints to 12 points, everyone in this city would have signed up for a win.
Like I said, you spun it. But what if I told you?
Those are facts.
But you did spin it to your narrative.
Well, that's what
but
I do.
That's
what I have to do here.
Okay, so I'm going to give you another. So what if I told you, from the small sapling size that we've seen, that the defense was going to be the one that saved the day in this game? Would you have believed that?
I would have said probably not today.
All right, yeah. I could be okay with that. The defense played well. Or if I said, what if I told you that the coach of the Eagles held this high-powered offense to 3 points at the half, and we were in position to kick a field goal, and we didn't, and we still won the game? Would you have believed that?
Yeah, I would have actually, because that's who Nick Sirianni is. None of this surprises me. I'm not surprised by any of this. I feel better than I did before yesterday because I didn't even know if this defense had it in them.
Did anybody ask him when he said, hey, that's on me? Did anybody say why? Where's Dave Uram when I need him? Where's Dave Uram?
We got to send him down and
we got to send him down and be like, why did you do that? What was your thought process in that moment?
So I've noticed this, and I expect. So Sirianni said to talk today, I believe, during the afternoon show. The questions about Sirianni's decision making are usually a little more challenging in the week press conference. Like after the game, it feels like everyone, I don't know. Like I don't know why. It just feels like everyone could settle down and ask some harder questions. I believe he'll get grilled today more than he did yesterday on that decision. Why he took it away from Kellen Moore. I think that's all coming at 3 o'clock today.
He should.
Like, I agree.
I just love how all of a sudden today, Joe, you're a win as a win guy. And if you want to do the whole, like, what if I told you thing, what if I told you that the quarterback turned it over twice and the head coach left like 9 points on the board with his decision making? Would you think you were feeling good today?
Well, you know what I would say to that? It must be a pretty good roster to overcome all that kind of stuff.
You think so?
Yeah. The defense is better than I thought it was. I didn't think they were capable of yesterday. That's why I feel better.
I didn't either. But, like, it's still the same things that are absolutely killing us every single game.
I agree.
Can't iron them out.
Well, I've accepted this is who the coach is. I mean, you guys think something different.
Well, that doesn't make me feel good.
Well, that's fine, but I'm reacting to yesterday.
I'm starting to feel like this is who the quarterback is, too.
Well,
so it's like my big takeaways from the game are more negative than they are positive.
So you've accepted that the coach is a ninny?
Your words, not mine.
The first part of being smart is knowing what to do.
What is a ninny? That's the old school.
Ninny
right?
is a good ninny. One, yeah. Yeah.
Ninny.
Yeah.
Ninny.
If you want to go to comps that have been thrown out of the show, could we possibly have a talented roster surrounded by the modern day Barry Switzer and Jameis Winston?
Nah.
Maybe.
Make the decision. Make the decision.
It's possible. But a win, they got a win yesterday. Okay? Can we just focus on the positives?
I don't give a shit.
I do. Greg in the Northeast, he's happy. What's up, Greg? He called this win, by the way.
Joe, Hugh, what's up?
What's up,
hey,
man?
Greg.
Like I said earlier, man, what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
Ooh, the Birds got the win. Yeah. That's what we did lately.
That's what they did. They showed out the defense, Greg. They did it.
You got a win. Any win is a good win. Like, at least we didn't lose, you know? Like, we won. And then we had guys like Fred Johnson show up. I'm like, who in the heck is that?
How about Fred Johnson? They just rolled out another Johnson when Lane went out.
He showed up like a dog, and he showed up, and we won, man. That's all we asked.
They won the Fred Johnson game, and I got these guys over here critiquing it. They won the Fred Johnson game.
I'm gonna let you and Greg have y'all moment. I'm done with both of you.
They won the Fred Johnson game.
Huff is still out there looking around. I don't know what's going on, but like our D-tackle showed up. BG was all over the quarterback. Like
BG was awesome yesterday. He was awesome.
I'm happy, man. I am happy.
Old people are cool.
But after today, I'm done talking about the game, and I'm ready to move on to Tampa.
Turning that page.
Guess what's going to happen? We're going to go down to Tampa. We're going to put Baker on his back, and we're going to win the damn game.
Well, you know what? They are favorites in this game, Greg. We appreciate it.
Hey, Greg, we ain't turning the page.
We got lots to unpack on this one.
We're going to milk this one for a couple days.
Lots to unpack after that win. They did win the Fred Johnson game. He's not lying.
Hey, he lying.
It's not the Fred Johnson game.
Shout out to Coach Stoutland.
It officially is. So
the Jalen Carter game.
There is one person. You know, we keep saying Sirianni's off the hook and Jalen's off the hook. So is Bryce Huff. I mean, we are like his stat line through three games is a whole bunch of zeros.
Let me see.
I mean, that page is filled with zeros.
Let me look.
18 snaps yesterday. I don't believe he registered a statistic yesterday.
It's like how Blankenship saved C.J. Gardner-Johnson's ass because he got roasted by Olave on what should have been the game-winning touchdown, for being honest.
He didn't. I'm looking. Let me see, because you know I ain't got my glasses on. Let me make sure.
There was a lot of ass saving yesterday.
His name ain't on there. Zach Bond had 13 tackles yesterday, though.
Zach Bond played well. I have a question for you. When Hassan Reddick eventually does play football again, who will have more sacks the moment Reddick steps on the field, Huff or Reddick?
That's a good one.
It might be even. It might be a whole goose egg for both.
We're going into week three.
We're week four now.
We're week four with Hassan standing on business. Because weren't there was reports out there that something was going to be done this weekend.
There was, yeah.
And it don't feel like that has happened.
It was Hassan Reddick's birthday this weekend. Maybe that's what the report was about.
Like, yeah, my birthday weekend. I ain't coming to work.
I have a party to go to, guys.
How about this? I think Bryce Huff has a good – I think he gets a sack this weekend. I know this is early.
I know you've been on a heater lately. You've been on a heater with predictions.
Don't push it.
Yeah,
don't push it.
It's called showmanship. You quit while you're ahead on this one. Rick in Princeton. What's up, Rick?
Hey, guys. So to answer your question, they're going to be tied. Reddick and Huff will have the same number of sacks.
Zero.
Yeah. They start fresh. So the Eagles have won a game with a hangover, with jet lag. They've been embarrassed at home. And then a big win in the dome. So for the final preseason game, I need it to be like 32 degrees. I need cold. I need rain. And then we'll see what we have, right?
So I don't think that's a knock on Tampa anymore.
Probably not. Yeah, no, you're right about that. It does feel like this is the last week, Rick, we could use the, well, they didn't have any preseason excuse. Like, this is, now we're in week four coming up.
Exactly. You work out the kinks. You know, the defense, I mean, that was awesome. I actually felt confident in the defense for the first time this season. And, you know, offensively, it's going to take is what's happening with Lane Johnson and Devontae? Are they going to play or do I know?
I'm assuming, Nick, when he addresses the media today, we'll give an update. But, Rick, that's one of those things where it just goes by the protocol. And if they're cleared, they're cleared. But if they're not, you know, then they just, you know, they can't play.
And we need Fred Johnson, baby.
That's right. That Fred Johnson game 2.0 Sunday against the Bucs. Yeah, and Rick, man, we appreciate it. Hugh, this weekend against Tampa, they're favorites right now. We'll see how that line goes throughout the week. But
yeah,
they,
with all the injuries.
The injuries are significant. Now, I don't know. I mean, maybe Lane and Devontae make it back. What did you guys make of the Devontae play, by the way, when he got banged up? Because a lot of people were angry that it was a dirty play by the Saints.
It wasn't a dirty play. It was... The ref should have blew the whistle because forward progress was stopped.
So he caught that ball at the 36. If you go watch the replay of when he got crushed by the defender that was kind of flying in off the radar, I think he was at the 31. He got pushed 5 yards backwards. I mean, that's the definition of forward progress has been stopped.
But I will say this. The defender should have practiced a little bit more. I mean, he's tackled. There's no need for you to do that.
He was going in for a shot.
Yeah, he was going in for the kill shot. Like, I understand, like, as a defender, you're taught to try to dislodge him from the football, but the play was already dead. So it was like no need for you to do that, in my opinion.
But the whistle wasn't blown.
No, the whistle wasn't blown, but still, he's tackled.
He's going down.
He's going down. Like put it like this. I wouldn't have done it. Now, if it would have happened, I would have been well within my rights to do it.
Right, because the whistle wasn't blown.
But as a former defender and football player, that would have not been my first thought.
Well, I would hope most players wouldn't do that. I don't know if he went in with the intent to hit him in the head. My guess is he didn't.
He went in with the intent to hurt him.
He led with the crown of his helmet.
Right, like, but I'm just saying, like, when he was flying in, does he know Devontae's going to be contorted in that spot where he, I don't know what he was thinking.
He went to put a shot on him.
Yeah, I believe that.
He had bad intentions. No question about that.
That's getting a targeting flag in college.
Like, why didn't he blow the whistle, though, the ref? Like,
I don't know. The refs are morons. They but, were, like,
5 yards of forward... forget forward progress. It's backwards for 5 yards. Yeah.
Like, he was trying to dislodge his head from his shoulders, not the football.
He was. That was a decleater.
You know how the NFL is able to send clips to the official...
To John Runyon?
To John Runyon. I would send that one... But I would point out the referee's mistake. I would, like, you got my guy almost killed here. I mean, Devontae might not be able to play this
so
week.
So I don't think the ref blowing the whistle would have stopped the dude from hitting him. I just think the ref's whistle would have compelled another referee to throw a flag on the hit. Because I think the hit was coming either way. Like, the dude was flying at Devontae. It was sort of bang-bang. I know it seemed really, like, really, really bad in slow-mo. But if you just watch the replay, it almost happens, like, pretty quickly. To where, like, I just think if there was a whistle being blown and then the hit happened, just, like, the timing of that would have forced another ref to be like, oh, crap, like, that's a penalty.
Yeah, perhaps it would have. All right, let's hit one more phone call, and then we'll get to our takeaways across the NFL in week number 3. Irene in Collinswood. Hey, Irene.
Hey, guys.
What's
hey,
up?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. So Kyle and I were talking, and we were talking about, you know, the win versus a good win.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take the win, but it's really... I think we got lucky. It's sort of like winning the lottery. You're not really, it's not really the best strategy for building good team wealth. We're not really making good judgments or good decisions on the field.
And well, I would agree that it's not sustainable to turn the ball over twice and to have the head coach, you know, make bozo calls. That's not going to work.
Yeah, and it's frustrating. I mean, I'm starting to think that Jalen is contractually obligated to throw at least one interception and one fumble.
She said contractually obligated. That's strong. That is strong.
Well, it just seems that way. And also, that scattering around the field when he just gets out of the pocket and he's running around, it just seems like he's playing tag and trying to get away from, you know, people.
That's fine.
You know, Irene, when he decides to run, like he puts his foot in the ground and goes, he could still get some yards. But when he just like you're saying, like dances back there, nothing good seems to come of that.
No, he's scampering around. It doesn't look. It's not any way a strategy for winning games. And my concern is that we're depending on this win-win mentality. That win is just a win mentality, and get at not doing. The things. I mean, Jalen has a commercial for Lincoln Financial where he talks about making an investment and putting in the work. And I'm like, what kind of investment are we making in our team if we're not really, I mean, I don't want to lose, but it would be better sometimes to have a better loss, that we earned that loss. We played, we did everything right, we didn't turn over the ball, and really felt good about a loss. This win is like, yeah, W is a W, we got the win, move forward. But we're not, like I said, we're not working on making good judgments. Sirianni's decision making was terrible, just terrible. I mean, it's like he's throwing darts at his playbook.
I agree with you. It doesn't feel like there's rhyme or reason, Irene, to what he does. And to the point you made about sometimes a loss is better, I feel like, and Irene, we appreciate it. Last year, it was tough for them to accept what they were because they kept winning, and then it just crashed fast on them. And this year, I mean, they're 2-1. They do have the loss last Monday that hopefully they learned from the mistakes they figured out. All right, let's look at the NFL yesterday. Week number 3, what hit us along with the Eagles winning? What continues to hit me is that the NFC East, as much as the Eagles have issues, I still believe this division could be 1-9-8.
Yeah.
Dallas is not any good. I mean, Dallas was down 3 scores at home to the Ravens. They've
what
now
have
lost,
I done to deserve this?
They've lost 2 straight home games to start this season. Their one win looks less impressive by the day because it was the Browns they beat, and the Browns just stink. I don't think it's a good division. The Giants won yesterday, but we know what they are. That's a 5 or 6 win team. I think the Commanders are decent, but I don't think they're good enough to get to 10 or 11 wins. 9 wins the NFC East.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But since we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys, I don't know if you saw the video that Jamie Foxx had with
Jerry Jones. Oh, I saw.
It's coming. Like when I told you, like before the season started, like y'all talk about batting 1,000. Didn't I tell y'all? I told y'all before the season started. Jerry Jones is going to have a viral moment.
Mm.
That's not the one, though, people. That is not the one.
That's relatively mild.
Yeah.
No, you know what I mean? That's not the one. It's still coming. He's on his way.
It's pretty remarkable that that's considered mild these days.
Yeah,
but I guess
for Jerry it is.
Yeah, for Jerry it's mild.
I think the thing that I took away from the NFL this weekend is that, like I said last week, I think the Falcons got a pretty darn good football team. They played the Kansas City Chiefs tough. Now, I know Howard called in and said that, you know, there were some ugly wins by the Kansas City Chiefs. And there was a lot of controversy with that last call, whether or not it was holding or whatnot. The refs kind of bailed them out.
Mm-hmm.
People have been feeling that way about them all season long. But look like the Atlanta Falcons, that win last week doesn't feel as bad with the way that they played the Kansas City Chiefs.
Hold on, time out.
What?
Because I called out this strategy by you in week one.
What are you talking about? What strategy?
This is your guess that takes. From Friday.
Oh, and then he just
what
says
the
it.
Talking heads will be saying about the rest of the league.
I didn't know what
and then
was.
Hugh comes on and goes, this is the take.
What are you talking about?
So basically, you're the reason you're batting 1,000.
So it's like on Friday, we guess what everyone's talking about,
yeah.
Right? And if I say to you on this Friday, next Monday, everyone's going to say the sky is green. And then I come
so
in here Monday.
I make it right.
You make it right. If I come in here Monday and say the sky is green, everyone's like, he's right.
It's a good strategy.
But wait a minute.
But they lost.
But am I lying, though?
They lost.
But did they play well? They played well.
They looked better than they.
Yeah. So I'm not lying. Yeah, what are you talking about?
They lost. They lost.
I'm on to you, is all,
they
dude. I'm so on to you.
That's a good.
How dare you accuse me of this?
He saw right through this. All right, Kyle, what did you take away from yesterday?
Dude, what is up with the Browns?
They stink.
I mean, Deshaun Watson is really, really bad. That, I guess I'm not really breaking any, like, news here. That is going to go down as the worst contract in NFL history.
Yes.
And I'm only hoping.
He fleeced everybody.
That they try to milk this thing until after the Eagles game. Because I would much rather face Deshaun Watson than Jameis Winston.
Big creepy.
Which is crazy.
Oh, I agree with you. Let's hope we get Deshaun Watson here in a few weeks. All right, one more thing hit me yesterday. Hugh, I'm wondering if we're about to see a shift in how teams operate, and we're going to see less rookie quarterbacks play and more veterans. Have you noticed this? The second chance guys, Sam Darnold, Geno's been doing it for a few years now, Geno Smith, but this year it's Sam Darnold's right. He's the guy now, right?
Yeah.
8 touchdowns, they're 3-0. I wonder if the NFL's about to stop throwing the rookies out there because Bryce Young was awful last season, and he got benched already this year. And look, Andy Dalton, back in, plays better. Caleb Williams, who everyone said, oh, the next great thing, Caleb Williams. He looks like crap so far. And
I haven't even watched the Chicago game, but yeah, I'm hearing bad things about
him. I'm not saying his career's over. I just wonder if we're going to go to a point where, remember the way it used to be? Justin Fields. Yeah,
Justin Fields.
Right? I wonder if we're going to get to a point where teams are going to say, I'm not playing a rookie anymore. I'm going to give these guys time to develop. Because the veterans are better. Andy Dalton was just sitting around for a year, just sitting there watching Bryce Young stink. He goes in there yesterday. They lit it up, and they won right away. Same team, same players. I think we could come back soon to the veterans playing and the rookies sitting because the veterans are better.
Well, I think there's two things that you look at in a situation like that, especially at the quarterback position. I've always been of the mindset that it takes 4 games for a defense to figure out a young quarterback or a new quarterback.
Mm.
So the success Andy Dalton is having is because nobody's seen him in a while, and they don't know what his skill set is.
He went right in.
No, he did.
And completed passes.
You know who else did that and had a nice run in the NFL when he did it? Kevin Cobb had like the best 4-game stretch or 3, whatever the stretch was when Donovan got hurt in the NFL. So much so he broke a record. And as far as the second part of that goes, Joe, when you talk about young quarterbacks, financially it's going to be impossible.
But the Chiefs did it.
Yeah, they because they had the luxury to do it.
I know.
Because they had a serviceable quarterback that was coming off a playoff win.
The Packers did it.
And Andy Reid moved up to get him.
Yes, I think it's smarter to do it that way.
No, it is. But when you talk about these number one overall first-round draft picks, number one overall.
Like Caleb Williams.
Yeah. Like, you have to justify taking that pick. And the fact that the Chicago Bears did what they did. Look at Justin Fields. And I said last year, I was like, I think he can still play. Being in the right system helps out a lot. Being married to the right coordinator helps out a lot. Now you see him struggling a little bit. I think the timing of the game is a lot faster for him, where it has to slow down for him. But he's under a lot of pressure because coming into this season, the Chicago Bears felt like they were going to be a playoff team.
Yeah, they're not.
Realistically, they felt that way, and they're not.
They're the worst team in their own division.
I just feel like there are outlier cases where like guys like Bryce
CJ Stroud.
Well, like no, so I was going the other way. I think Bryce Young just stinks.
I do too,
and that's why Andy Dalton was able to step in and look good. But it really depends. Like, how much of it comes down to the ability to protect the quarterback. Like Caleb Williams, they put him out there with a really bad offensive line.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like a good situation for him. The Patriots are holding Drake May out, and I think it's smart now because having watched the Patriots for a few weeks, Jacoby Brissett's out there getting murdered. Like, Drake May would be in a terrible situation being out there with that line.
That's what Doug Peterson was for Donovan. Doug was that for Donovan. Doug came in and struggled until Donovan was ready to go. And that's normally how it's done, but these guys make way too much money now to let them sit on the bench.
This also gives me hope if the Eagles need Kenny Pickett. Because Kenny Pickett, to start his career, is not any worse than Sam Darnold was to start his career. He's not any worse than Geno Smith was. Look at those guys now. I think there's an assumption that Pickett can't play if we needed him. I don't know. Maybe as he develops in his second chance, he can help the team if they need him. 215-592-9292.